Well, welcome. This is Judith Conrad, and this is the Judith Conrad Radio Program. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every week, we are broadcasting live. Well, sometimes we are playing a tape, but most of the time it is live, and that's the way I like it. Now, yesterday, we had so many calls from all over the United States. That was the first time I think we had that many. Well, we were doing angel readings, and that's one of, you know, when people, we do readings, people really like to jump in and find out what's going on. Of course, on the radio, we can only do a little bit. We don't go as deeply as we could when we're doing a full reading, and that's what my passion is to do the readings or the sessions to investigate. I call it spelunking, to delve into areas that you are not quite aware of, and by so doing, you can, what shows up are landmines. Yeah, things that you could step in and get blown up in your business or in your personal life. And I focus a lot on business because I'm in business, have been for quite a long time. And as you're looking at where the landmines are, I can help you miss those and create something that is far more positive in your business or in your personal life that is just much more advantageous. Well, we are coming up to a full moon. I got to start out a little bit with that. It's a Gemini lunar eclipse. And, you know, I have to say I misspoke yesterday and the day before that I said that the Mercury retrograde was going to end on the 7th of January. Well, that's not true. We have, and yesterday I explained a whole lot about Mercury retrograde when we are redoing many things. And so just to let you know that Mercury will go direct, which means all the communication, all the details will be a little easier to work with. That will be on December the 13th. Not so bad, because I thought, oh my goodness, we're going to be going through all of this miscommunication all the way through Christmas. Details, well, you know, yesterday I couldn't find my astrology book. Well, I said today, okay, God, you and I are having a talk. I'm finding this book. So I found it, and so we can talk about just a little astrology. Well, with Mercury retrograde still, we're still looking at the details and making sure that we don't get lost, turning right instead of left, different things like that, missing meetings because of forgetting them or things like that. One of the things about, and this is on December the 10th, so right after that, we'll have Mercury going direct, this Gemini lunar eclipse. You know, I love to look at, because one of the things I do in my coaching is to help people find out what their purpose is. And the purpose is an overview of whatever you're going to be focusing on. Let's say I'm focusing on releasing weight or being healthy. Well, you know, it's very broad. There's nothing to nail it down. It's hard to grasp that, to be healthy. I mean, how do you nail that down and really understand it? Of course, this is all, by the way, wrapped around being happy and the qualities of happy people. As I look at the purpose of why I do the radio program, it's a place where I can speak out what has been channeled to me. I write it down, and it's a place to speak it, at which time then it takes me deeper into what I'm here to do, and the radio provides that. If it's not there, then it will show up when I'm doing sessions. So out of the purpose of whatever your purpose is in whatever you're doing, then from there we take the goals. And I used to call them SMART goals. And a SMART goal is something that's specific, it's measurable, it's achievable, it's relevant, and it's trackable. I'm blowing that out of the water. I'm just looking at soul goals. What does my soul want, period? What does the soul, what does God want for me as I'm doing this radio program? And I can be specific. Yes, I'm doing it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I can measure it because I'm showing up at 4 o'clock. I can achieve it because I pay for it. Relevant, it's relevant to me because my soul, it feeds my soul. And I can track, you know, whatever my goals are. But I want to look at the soul goals, which I say unrealistic goals and the skill set to achieve them. With this Gemini lunar eclipse, boy, does that talk about that, is that we are looking at new pathways. And if you're going to set a realistic goal, yeah, it's going to be safe. Well, how about unrealistic? Checking in with your higher power, your higher self, your guides, angels, God, goddess, all that is, and the higher dimensions now become more accessible. Because there's a bigger picture, more so than ever, ever before. In other words, the purpose has changed maybe from when you were born, but then maybe not. Maybe we've all along had this higher purpose. So these unrealistic goals, I call soul goals, have to do with, and here's, I'm going to change here, I will believe it when I see it. Oh, that's the old paradigm. That's being realistic. I have to see it before I'll believe it. I like this much better. I will see it when I believe it. Now, that's created in the imaginary realm where you imagine and pretend that, well, let's just say that if I were a smoker, that I am a non-smoker. This is going to go beyond what I'm real, where I am right now. I believe it. I'm walking it. I'm talking it. And any addictive behavior behind that, it just really doesn't stand a chance. So you must believe it, feel, and here's another part. You know, the secret got missed a whole bunch. If you don't feel it and you don't believe it and you can't, and you've got this mind chatter that won't quit, then of course it isn't going to do much good. And let's say right now with details, and that's kind of like, well, that's kind of negative to say that. And what I say is, I believe that the details will take care of themselves. Think about that. All right, so Mercury retrograde, December the 13th. However, Mercury is going to stay in Sagittarius, so we get to work on our goals some more. I like that because we are setting these unrealistic goals. And by the way, out there, if you are interested in sitting with me with a reading, I will help you, you know, define your unrealistic goals and the skill set to create them. Because when you're creating in the imaginal realm, and you can go to that place where your guides, your angels, God, goddess, all that is, they are right there and they are ready to create. It's out of your hands all of a sudden and they do the work. They, the angels, the guides. And all of a sudden someone will show up with, let's say, you're looking, and I don't like to just create things on the physical level. That's pretty easy. Parking places. Yeah, that could, you know, sometimes it works and a few times it doesn't. But most of the time, there's a parking place right in front. I like to work on the more etheric level where I would like to have happiness. So that's what I've been talking about all week. And to define it, I'm looking at it in an unrealistic way. Am I living my passion? That's realistic, however. And if I am not, how can I change to do something that I do like? If money is an issue and you're being run by issues of not having the money, poverty consciousness, then let's go to that again, to that imaginary place and connect to source, connect to God, goddess, all that is, and let's really connect and say, okay, I need to have some changes here. Let's have money show up right now. Let's let the ideal opportunity show up so that I may step into it. Now, here's an exercise I want you to do. Remember last night, yesterday I did the exercise of stepping back into the energy of your angels and feel like those wings are wrapping around? Oh, I had so many people email. They like that. How about let's do this? You know, when you're doing any of your like Tai Chi, you bend your knees and you drop, you know, your knees, you're balanced with your weight and the back foot and the front foot. Okay, the back foot would be a realistic goal, and the front goal is an unrealistic goal. let's say, money coming from sources you just don't know, and at least set a number. 5,000? Oh, that's pretty good. Okay, now let's see if you can shift your weight from the back foot to the front foot. And just let your body be, it's kind of like it's a pendulum. And see if you can shift your weight from the back foot to the front foot. And I do that many times. Or I use a pendulum, you know, take a crystal and put it on the end of a string or a button in anything. You'd use your body, though, as a pendulum here. Because your knees are bent and you have your weight is evenly distributed. And now you put the front foot focus on something. I don't know where $5,000 would come from. And I, you know what? I don't need to know. I just shift my weight up to the front. If it will not move, that means that there's a landmine in there someplace. So let's look at the landmine. What is it? Are you afraid of having money? Any past performances where money, I had the money and I lost friends, I lost whatever, or because I didn't have money, I lost something else. You know, sometimes there's something psychological in there, and we can take care of that landmine because I want you to have unrealistic goals, and I want, and these are some of the skill sets that I use, like leaning back into the energy of the angel and having the angel wings wrap around us. Cool, huh? Now, if you'd like to call in, feel free to do so. Like last night, everybody called in. And maybe because I'm talking, you don't think you can call in. But guess what? You can call in and let me know how I can help you. I'd love to do that. Well, just go ahead and call. I'm not going to hold you up. I want to give you now a little reading here. And you can think of a question, maybe an unrealistic goal that you'd like to create. How about $5,000 just coming in out of the blue? And how about having it as a regular monthly thing? I think that's something I'd like to go for. I'm going to just put that out. All right, $5,000. I'm going to put that in my belly. I'm thinking of my front foot, and I'm going to think about moving my, this is every month, I don't know where it comes from, just moving my energy. Yeah, I can move my foot. Good. First card, excuse me, is the Fool card. Is that a perfect card or what? So a fool believes or just does, you know, it takes risks like Indiana Jones stepping off the cliff. And the fool just looks straight ahead, and there's a fear tiger biting the leg, and the fool just looks straight ahead. Now, that's a skill. If your gut says, I could never do that, have $5,000 every month. Well, if it's too little, then set it higher. With the fool, there's a whole cycle with the fool. I mean, just new beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings. It's a number zero. And, pretty powerful, very powerful. Now, my throat is acting up tonight. The feet on the fool are red hot. In other words, am I red hot about having that? Oh, I think that would be so wonderful. And I'm thinking of the house I'm going to buy, and I just feel great. So next week when I broadcast, I'll let you know how this is going. I want you to call in. All right, second card, when I'm open to receive, and that is peace. In other words, I'm not going to angst over whether the money comes in or not. Because I'm pretty happy right now with what I get to do. That's all the money in the world. The Two of Swords is peace, and it's coming through wisdom. And the two swords come together right through wisdom. It's a lotus, and the lotus is open, and the two swords are equal. So that is peace. On the handle of the sword, excuse me, there are praying angels. So I just noticed that the angels are praying for the happiness of everyone out there. Happiness, how do you measure it? It's just how I feel. I feel emotionally very, very strong. And when I feel this way, people are attracted to come and have sessions with me. All right, the third card, interesting, it is the Two of Wands, spiritual dominion. Here, the Two of Swords, which is mental, and the Two of Wands, which is spiritual. And they're sitting, and that's what you're projecting to the outside world, the Two of Wands, spiritual dominion. In other words, you have control of the spiritual realm, which is that, I say, that's that imaginary realm, the land of let's pretend. And there are two Dorjis. Now, the other one, the Two of Swords, has two swords crossed. And this one has two Dorjis, which are power tools. I can't tell which one's more predominant. They're very equal. So you and God get to be equal in creating this. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, or was with Spirit, Goddess, God, whatever your higher power is. You have command. So when I say, I will see it when I believe it. Once I believe it and know that it is not just up to me, it has to do with someone else, a higher power. Many times I've noticed when people start helping other people, they get to play the role of God. That's because they're told that something just taps them on the shoulder and they say, hello, let's go to the Fifth Street Market. Let's go to the Holiday Market. And there's someone there that I need to. Or maybe they'll just tap me on the shoulder and say, Holiday Market, Holiday Market, Holiday Market. And so I will go to the Holiday Market, because when I hear it that many times, three times, like a book falling off the shelf, these are things now that I will absolutely go ahead and do. Now, with this four-card spread, the fourth card can either be a summary card or the answer, or if it's a Bardo or a challenge card, which this one is, we get to immediately let it go, because that's a landmine. The landmine is the Seven of Cups, debauch. That's the card of victim, martyrdom. It shows cups, emotional. I call this the slime ball card. It's like oozing out of these lotus cups. They're just oozing with, yuck. This victimology, you know, this is the way it's always been. And every time I get to the place where something comes in and it's good, and all of a sudden someone will come and take it away. Yeah, when that happens, that's an old belief system. And here's one, and you know, that's part of this whole thing, the qualities of happy people. They will overthink, and they can't get into the gratitude and keep that and maintain it. They'll get it, and then all of a sudden it will be gone. And many times forgiveness gets in the way. If you are not committed to having and being happy, it pretty much wipes out anything that you have created. So I wonder what your opinion is of these cards that I picked. Give me a call. Maybe I can, you know, talk about it. So I've got the Fool card, which says take a risk, get into believing it before, so that it then now you can see it. The second one is open to receive peace, because you've got angels that are working for you. You don't have to do it. Your analytical mind wants to do it, but you don't have to do it. And the third one, what you're projecting to the outside world, is the Two of Wands, which is you and God in a power relationship. Can you imagine anything stronger than that? And then the last one that you are releasing is the Seven of Cups, debauch. Debauchery, you know, too much drugs, too much sex, too much, well, they're never that, too much alcohol, whatever too much is, too much feeling sorry for yourself, that could stop you, but we're blowing that up. That was a landmine. I just blew it up. Okay? Is that okay? I like that. All right. Let's now go to our guest. So my guest is going to join me in this, and my guest, Dr. Bill Walter, is from Golden Apple Healthcare. He's a naturopathic physician, and we're going to talk about happiness and anything else, and we would love to have you call in if you have any. You know, I'll ask him a little bit in a little bit. What would he like to have you call in about? All right, welcome to the program, Bill.
Thank you, Judith. I'm glad to be here.
I know. It's so fun. As I mentioned to you before, I use the radio when I bring in some of my friends and guests, associates. I use this as a way to do a one-on-one.
Sure.
Yeah. So I'm getting to know you better at what you do, how you do it. So I noticed you were taking notes. Anything you'd like to share about what was given here?
Nothing quite yet. I think that these are going to be prompts for me for later as our conversation evolves.
Okay, very good. All right, I am going to ask about the tarot card reading. I call this God's picture book. Any thoughts that came out of that as it applies to your life and to your business?
Oh, well, in terms of my life, I'll start with the Dominion card, which, as you described, was really about being in a power relationship with the divine, and that is sitting very significantly with me right now. A lot of what I've gone through in the last year has been reclaiming my own sense of spirituality.
Ah, great.
I've taken my own set of twists and turns and have gotten into a very settled place in the last year, and am finding a lot of strength and nourishment through that. So that's where the Dominion card is powerful to me.
Good.
When I look at the Peace card and what you were saying about intellect being involved, a big part of how I move through the world has been intellectually.
Uh-huh.
And so wanting to honor that but also honor the other side is, what does the spiritual self want?
Mm-hmm.
So that I don't have to overthink and I can let go.
Right. And you notice that they're equal. They're across from each other.
I did notice that.
Yeah. And so the placement many times of different thoughts, of different, like if you're looking at two sets of clouds.
Right.
And you see one symbol in one cloud and another one in another one, just notice the position that whether one is above, one is below. And these two are there very equal, the intellect and the spiritual.
Right. Right.
Which is right brain, left brain.
Sure.
Balance, balance, balance.
Exactly. I was working with a Jungian several years ago, and this was a big part of what we were exploring then.
Really?
Was how do you find the balance between the two?
Right, because sometimes when people are involved in the spiritual, they will, as soon as they start meditating, then they start telling everyone all these, you know, things that should be kept secret. And then they're trying to convert everyone to whatever they're doing.
Right.
And I noticed that, and that's why a lot of times it will turn people off.
Sure, sure. A big part of the discipline I've been doing in the last year has been a quiet discipline.
Good.
With an encouragement to speak and share, but also the practice is hearing an inner voice that says it's time to stand up and share versus, no, this is just for you.
And you hear that.
Yeah.
You know, someone emailed me last night. He said, how do you get those answers? I said, well, I flipped cards over, but there was no message in the cards. It was just why I was listening to your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so to hear an inner voice, that's, for me, that's happiness. Inner happiness, being able to hear messages, and then that's number one. And number two, to hear it and then to acknowledge it. And number three was to recognize it's for me, not for anyone else.
Right, right.
And so with the material you receive that is to be shared, where do you find, what is your outlet to share?
I stand up and speak it.
Okay.
The practice that I'm in is a silent Quaker practice.
Oh, okay.
Most of the time it's silent, and the practice that we all agree on, we have a lot of different beliefs, but the practice that we all agree on is that this is the discipline.
All right.
Is listen for that inner voice, for that inner light, and if you feel like you have to stand up and speak, if mm-hmm. you feel almost like you're getting pushed out of the seat, then yes, go ahead and stand up and speak.
Right.
So sometimes it's an hour of silence, and sometimes four or five people will speak over the course of that hour.
Mm-hmm. And if you have a message, do not speak. It's very inappropriate when you get that message that you stand up and speak, because then it's, you know, sometimes when you share too early, before things have formulated, and that was one of the things you shared, When I first asked, what did you get out of what I was and you said it's not time to share about that yet. I honor that.
Thank you.
Very good. All right, let's find out a little bit about you personally.
Sure.
I mean, you are, I don't know a whole lot about your family, where you came from, so I'd like to start out with that and then find out what is a naturopathic physician.
Well, I am originally from Battle Creek, Michigan.
All right.
I moved to the West Coast when I was 12 years old, but the rest of my family is all still in Michigan.
Oh, really?
For the most part. There's a few exceptions to that.
Yeah.
Met my wife in Los Angeles. She moved with me to Seattle to go to school. Finished school and residency in Seattle and then took a position here in beautiful Eugene.
And you said, is she a physician also?
No, she's an artist.
An artist?
Yes.
Wow. What kind of an artist? What's her name first?
Her name is Margot.
Oh, I met her that one time. She came that one time, yes.
She came one time, yeah. Margot Lovinger is her name.
Okay.
And she is a fiber artist.
A fiber artist.
She has invented her own technique using sheer fabrics, like what you would make a wedding gown out of.
Okay.
She uses sheer fabrics to create portraits.
Wow.
And so from across the room, you might think you're looking at a painting, but in fact, that is all hand-stitched sheer fabric, layer upon layer of hand-stitched sheer fabric.
Oh, my goodness. I wish we had TV so you could see this. And so even the face is made out of?
There is the I've just handed Judith a couple of images of my wife's work, and I'm going to tell her and the listening audience that everything you're seeing is, there's no paint, ink, or dye. That's all fabric.
Everything.
Everything.
So the eyes and the expression, earrings, that's all fabric.
All fabric.
Wow. Well, I want you to use your imagination because I'm looking at this picture of a beautiful woman, and it's called Detail of Lillian, Portrait Quilt, and then the other one is of a naked woman, and she's looking off to the right, and all of that is made out of fabric. I had no idea we're going to have this available. And then there's another picture of a reclining woman, all fabric. And the light in the face, to know that this is all made out of fabric. Can you imagine? I want you to use your imagination of having this medium of fabric, sheer fabric, to create a picture.
If anybody's interested, they can check her website out.
Okay, let's have that.
Her website is Margot, M-A-R-G-O-T, Margot Lovinger, L-O-V-I-N-G-E-R. com.
Okay.
Now, I would warn anybody who's going to look that she does figures.
Mm-hmm.
She does a lot of nudes.
Okay.
Just as you mentioned, you saw here.
Mm-hmm.
So some people might want to know that in advance before they click on our website.
Right. Okay. that they've been warned. MARGOTLOVINGER.com. Margot Lovinger. And so if you want to check that out, I am very impressed. I had no idea we're going to get into this subject, but I like this subject. All right, so she studied in Seattle then, this whole technique?
No, she invented the technique herself.
She invented it.
Yeah, she studied on the East Coast at the Museum School in Boston.
So here's an art that originated someplace, but she's picked it up and created it.
She wanted to be a painter.
Yes.
And she found that painting was a struggle for her, but she was supporting herself through art school by doing baby quilts.
Okay.
And so she knew how to use needle and thread.
Yes.
And so she over time started creating the portraits that she couldn't do with paint with fabric.
We all have our own method of reaching the divine and creating whatever we create. I mean, everyone has their own tools of the way they achieve this inner peace and happiness.
Right. And nothing makes her happier than being in the studio.
Right. Ah, that is so cool. That's so great.
So I know you weren't expecting to talk about her, but she is really my other half. I wouldn't be where I am without the support and love I've gotten from her. And I can't honor her enough. And she often says, Bill, you're the doctor. You're the important one.
Yeah.
And I just say, no. I think it was MacArthur, I might be getting the quote wrong, somebody said, "General, why do you study war?" And he said, "I study war and politics so that my children can study business and science."
Ooh.
So that their children can study art and culture.
I like that.
Where's the higher purpose? The higher purpose is not in war.
No.
I'm just wanting to make the world safe so that my grandchildren can really be artists and make the world a beautiful place.
Different way of looking at it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, I like that. Remember, all what we're doing here is we're thinking outside the box. And what a couple, I think last week I said, let's blow up the box. It doesn't exist. And then one person said, no, we got to, you know, confine it so that we can identify different things. Well, that could be true.
Could be.
All right. So let's go now. Thank you for sharing with your beautiful wife. And you have a child.
We have a 4-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
He's very much the light of our lives. He's strong and happy and healthy, and he makes us laugh every day.
So what makes him so happy?
We hold him, and we love him, and we give him space to be who he is.
Good.
With good boundaries.
Uh-huh.
So we've got the box around what his day looks like.
Right.
Boxes are important when you're raising a little kid.
Yes.
But, you know, he goes to bed at the same time every night, and he wakes up at the same time every morning. And he's
nice.
Strong because of it. He's healthy because of
it.
And there's no TV in his life.
Oh.
And there's vegetables in his life.
Yay.
And he's held a lot and loved a lot and told he's appreciated and cherished. And as he grows, he learns that he also has responsibilities.
Yes. So in that case, yes, the box is necessary.
The box is necessary. When I think about the box, whether that's in raising a child or in running my business or practicing medicine, when I think about the box, I try and balance it with, you know, how rigid do I have to be?
Mm-hmm.
And if I can use it as a framework so that I can dance freely through it,
yes,
that's empowering. If I feel like I have to rigidly adhere to the lines of it, then it's stifling.
Yes. All right, I got that. So here comes that balance again.
Right.
The intellect and the spirituality. And then, of course, the Fool card that sits here. I'm just sitting here looking at these. You know, you're ready to give your son permission to grow and explore.
Right.
With guidance, right. Because sometimes people give their kids freedom beyond anything, and it's you have an unruly child and a rude child.
Right.
Yeah, so that's where boundaries really are necessary.
Margot took him to the library the other day.
Really?
And on the way there, they were talking about the Grinch who stole Christmas.
Oh, yes.
And he thought he might want to read that book someday.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to the library, and he just looked up at my wife. And, of course, he held her hand through the parking lot. There were those boundaries.
Yes.
But he just, once they got into the library, he felt safe and calm, and he knew Mom was there. And he just walked himself up to the librarian and said, "Excuse me, do you have the Grinch?" She gave him the freedom to walk when it was safe.
Right.
In the library, the freedom to just go.
Yes. And, you know, a lot of people would never, ever go up to an adult at that age, at age 4.
Mm-mm. Right.
They'd never do that. So much shyness because they've been restricted. Do not speak. You know, that was in my generation. That was, you know, not too cool.
The balance,
yes. So you're giving that your child the direction. You're giving him the freedom to expand. Now. I want to go to your business.
Sure.
All right. Sure. So where did you study to get your, now you're a naturopathic physician. Tell me what education is involved in that.
A naturopathic physician, before we can start school, we have to have a bachelor's degree. And in that process, we do the same pre-medical sciences that conventional physicians do.
Okay.
Chemistry and biology and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Then it is a 4-year training program. The first 2 years are very comparable to what conventional medical doctors do. Anatomy and physiology.
Right.
Yeah, I've done my cadaver dissection, which, you know, everybody, that's what everybody thinks of when they think about year one of medical school.
And really,
you got to get through it. The second 2 years are where things differ and where really it is a different profession than what conventional medical physicians go through. Our focus is on outpatient, so not in a hospital, outpatient primary care with an emphasis on holistic wellness. I am so glad that we have conventional physicians that are keeping things going in the hospital. That's not my territory.
Right.
My territory, that and the second part of my training after the basic anatomy and so forth, focuses on diet and lifestyle, herbal medicine, mind-body techniques, so meditation techniques and related approaches to healthcare. And I was a massage therapist for several years.
Really?
So I do a lot of hands-on body work for my patients as well. In addition to that, I am trained in the use of pharmaceutical drugs.
Okay.
So if I got to start somebody on an antibiotic, you know, I don't want that to slow me down. Sometimes you need an antibiotic. I'm glad those tools are out there.
Yes.
And then after graduating, I went on to do a residency at the teaching clinic that's affiliated with my university. And finished residency, which is really just a lot of hours put in, seeing a lot of patients. And after that, I was invited to Eugene to just join a clinic and start my practice.
Really? And so the residency took how long?
The residency that I did was a one-year program.
1 year. So now you've got 9 years.
Yes.
That's a lot of study.
Yeah.
And so you've been out of school for how long? A residency?
I've been done with residency for just over a year.
Over a year. So very fresh in the memory of all of this material.
Yes.
That's very good because, you know, sometimes when people haven't been in school for a while, they forget all the stuff. And I know experience helps. Let's say on a typical day, of course, no day is ever typical.
Right.
What kind of clients will find you or come to you?
What kind of clients? I don't want to give a list of conditions off the bat.
Okay.
It's too easy to just say I treat X, Y, and Z.
No, but I'm looking for the people.
The people. The people are often people who have been through conventional medical care.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not serving their needs in one form or another.
Mm-hmm.
I have a rare set of people who come to me because they don't want any conventional medical care at all.
All right.
But that's the exception and not the rule. Most of the time, I'm working with people who already have their conventional MDs on board. They just need a different approach.
Okay.
So if I'm working with somebody with low back pain,
mm-hmm.
Much of what the conventional world would have to offer would be a pain pill or surgery and maybe a physical therapy referral. And those are all fine, and those tools help people, but surgery has its problems.
Oh, yes.
Pain pills have their problems.
Yes.
Physical therapy, not so much, but sometimes insurance, it's hard to get insurance to cover it. What am I going to do with that person? I'll probably do some hands-on body work.
Okay.
So I might do a bony manipulation like what a chiropractor might do. I'm not a chiropractor, mm-hmm. but I can do that kind of technique. I might get them started on magnesium, which is a great thing that oral magnesium just helps the muscles relax a little bit.
Oh, really?
And that can be a huge help for people with chronic back pain.
Okay. Which one, the citrate or the other one? There are two of them, I think.
There are several different salts that are available on the market.
Uh-huh.
Magnesium oxide is perhaps the most commonly used one. It can be a little challenging for people's stomachs. If people tolerate magnesium oxide, I'm more worried about the magnesium part than what it's bound to.
Right.
Some people really don't tolerate certain types of salts.
Uh-huh.
And so I've got to give them a special magnesium salt. But for a lot of people, any magnesium will do.
So do you sell the products in your office?
I sell a handful of products in my office.
Mm-hmm.
When I talk to people, my focus is on providing quality care and good knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I keep a few things on my shelf, but it's really not part of my business model to sell a lot of product.
Okay.
If it were a part of my business model to sell a lot of product, I might find myself selling product that I don't need that somebody doesn't need.
That's right.
And so I keep it there as a convenience for my patients,
mm-hmm.
but I also tell them, you know, there's some great health food stores in town. I will give my patients my online ordering service, and they can go to my online ordering service and order it themselves.
Very good.
And because they're my patient, they actually get a discount.
Isn't that nice?
So, yeah, I'll keep a couple things on my shelf, but it's not how I right. it's not how I earn a living.
Yeah, I wasn't interested so much in the symptoms as I, but we'll get to that a little sure. bit more maybe, as the type of people who would seek alternative solutions, because that's when people come to me also.
Right.
They've been to talk therapy, and they just want someone to jumpstart. You know, they just can't seem to get past that with, you know, they've been there 4 or 5 years. It just, you know, it hasn't moved. They're still in that same rut. And many times they'll come into me and I'll just, I don't know, something, I may sometimes hear their mother just chattering away, you're no good, you know what, you'll never accomplish anything. So I have to ask them, I said, well, what? Tell me what's going on with your mother. Well, how did she treat you when you were a little kid?
Right.
And nail it every time.
Right.
Because they, you know, the folks on the other side seem to have me on speed dial whenever I have a client sitting here, which is nice, you know, because it helps them just get it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I think we're seeking the same type of client. Yours is, I like what you're doing. That's very, very good.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. And sometimes, you know, I'll play inside the box and I'll go conventional.
Yes.
You know, I've certainly had cases where somebody just says, you know, I just have a sinus infection. I feel miserable. And I'll say, try the antibiotic for the weekend and see how you're doing.
Yeah. So it's a right brain, left brain again.
Right, right.
And that's very, very helpful. Well, now, if people would like to call in, and I know there are people out there listening, don't be shy. Yet, last night you all called in. We, if you have a situation and you'd like to call in, what kind of question would you entertain if they would like to call in?
What kind of question would I entertain if they would call in? You know, it's certainly hard to give healthcare advice.
I know it is. I know. That's why I'm asking you.
The questions that I would most entertain, I just don't have a good answer for
really?
That.
Really? That's good.
I'm curious to see what comes in.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes people just will not call in because they're I don't know, they just are listening and they don't want to intrude.
Sure.
So it's interesting. So it's up to me to ask questions. If someone has a toothache, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here I am going into situations.
Right.
I really didn't want to go there because I really am more interested in the type of people. But let's go ahead. Let's say someone has a toothache. You're not a dentist.
Right.
Is that something you can deal with?
Toothaches are kind of hard. You know, I'm not a dentist. There are probably a lot of things that I could do, but I would want to have a better diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a lot of the work that I do, I am often called upon to work after there is a diagnosis, after we know what's happened.
All right.
And so if I've got a clear, you know, I will do my own diagnostic mm-hmm. workup. I will do my own assessment.
Mm-hmm.
But more often than not, somebody will come in and they will say, I have rheumatoid arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do that my conventional doctors aren't doing?
Uh-huh.
Or the side effects don't work for me. What else do you have?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a better way of thinking
about it. Okay, very good. That's why I mean we're exploring this. Yeah.
And what I use and all naturopathic physicians are trained in is a model called the therapeutic order.
What is it called?
We call it the therapeutic order. This is the heart of naturopathic medicine. And why is this important? A lot of the healthcare providers who have sort of an alternative license, so an acupuncturist or a
right.
chiropractor, a lot of the alternative healthcare providers know a lot and will do a lot, but they're very much defined by that one technique. An acupuncturist mm-hmm. is often defined by the needles they're putting in.
Right.
They're offering advice around diet. They're offering mm-hmm. herbal remedies as
right.
well. But people think about that needle. Naturopathic doctors aren't tied to any one therapy.
They really?
I can use any tool that I've learned about and I feel comfortable safely using.
Mm-hmm.
They're all just tools in the tool belt. And we have a hierarchy that we work from.
Okay.
At the top of that hierarchy are drugs and surgery. I might not be an expert in that surgery, but I'm not opposed to a surgery if it's really needed. But what's below drugs and surgery? Well, starting at the bottom, it's going to be getting rid of any obstacles to cure, removing the obstacles. Like you were talking about with people getting rid of psychic landmines.
Right.
What would an obstacle be? I mean, the simplest example is you're allergic to cats and you have four cats. There's your obstacle. Now, you might need to do a lot of talk, you know, a lot of internal work to figure out how are you going to release these cats that you're caring
right,
for.
Right, right.
There's your obstacle to cure. Step two, once you've identified and got rid of any obstacles, then it's real lifestyle stuff. Diet and exercise mm-hmm. and sleep and joy.
Yes.
However you define joy, which is, isn't that part of the top?
Happiness yes.
is the topic for today.
Yes.
And that's really where I love working.
Yeah.
Because if, you know, between that foundational stuff of obstacles and lifestyle and drugs all the way at the top, yeah, there's herbs and there's botanical supplements and or nutritional supplements and all kinds of other stuff. But if I can really focus on that foundational lifestyle stuff to achieve change.
Yes.
Great. That's where I want to work with people.
Yes.
But again, I've got tools all the way up to drugs. If somebody's mm-hmm. got asthma and they need an inhaler, of course I'm going to prescribe them an inhaler.
Right. So you can prescribe. That's very good.
I can prescribe.
And the acupuncturists cannot do that.
Acupuncturists cannot.
No. Okay, and in our one group where I've met you, we have an acupuncturist, and I believe he also does massage.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of traditional Chinese medicine.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay, and so I've had one treatment with him, and so now I think I need to come and have a treatment with you.
Okay.
All right, that sounds fun. Okay, anything else? Like I said, we're trying to stay away from what it is that people are needing. I mean, the condition. I mentioned teeth because a lot of people, even good healers, psychic healers, don't seem to be able to handle that tooth
right.
and the root. So I've been really focusing on that, of helping folks believe that they can cure that root.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't need a root canal. They can just focus on that, keep the teeth healthy. And I have a couple clients who are just really excited because they were going to lose their teeth, and now so far they've been able to hang on to them for 6 months now.
Great,
yeah,
great.
And you know, as soon as they believe they can't do it, those teeth will fall out, probably, but we don't know. So I'm really working with them too.
Sure.
All right. What else?
I want to talk about happiness.
All right.
You know, I feel like I've blabbed on enough about my wife and me and my business. Let's talk about happiness.
Very good.
And that's what I want calls about. I want to hear from the world about their approaches to happiness too.
Yes, because I think there's a generalization of how people are, and if they don't call in, just you and me talking.
Sure,
please call in. You know, each one of us approaches it in a different way, maybe, but there's kind of a basic premise of what happiness is. What is your opinion of what happiness is?
Happiness is a process. More than
is it?
A destination.
All right. It's a process. It's, in other words, it's on the way to wherever.
I don't even know it's on the way to wherever. I think it's in its way, it's a discipline. It's a process. It's something you work on, not work towards.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Many people very close to me are evangelical Christians.
Okay.
That is not my path. It is their path.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand a lot about that path. Mm-hmm. And they will say, great, you've been saved. Now you have to work on what it means to be saved.
Right.
And I think that most of the Christians that I talk to and know would say that the saving event is only the start.
Right.
And for some people, having that connection with God is their process towards happiness.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it can be true of people who don't share that set of beliefs that it's a process. You have to learn that it's a process mm-hmm. and it's an ongoing thing.
And being in the state of is something you do have to work at.
Right.
Because as soon as you stop focusing and stop acknowledging and in gratitude of the state of happiness, then all of a sudden the other stuff, this victim, martyr, poor me, you know, someone done me wrong, and my dog died, my wife left, you know, they look for, all of a sudden they're looking for something that has taken them down.
Right.
And you got to get right back on that horse. You got kicked off the horse. Okay, get back on the horse and let's get moving. And it's not so much moving for me. It's about that state of stopping, slowing down, and just being in that place of unconditional love and peace, the peace that passeth all understanding. You understand right. What I mean when I say that?
Oh, yes.
What does that mean to you?
For me, that's a state of deep calm.
Yes, deep calm.
Happiness is a different feeling than that mm-hmm. state of deep calm. But I kind of lost focus on the question.
That's okay. We're exploring, and so we call this intuitive mind, you know, intuitive brainstorming. I said that, you know, maybe that the peace that passeth all understanding was, and we ended up with deep calm, but it's different than the happiness. Happiness being a different state of being.
Yeah, I think that happiness is more, for me in my life, is more of an exuberant feeling.
Yes.
That goes on with it. But I have a hard time being happy if I don't have that sense of peace first.
Right. And, you know, we can, I just heard someone who's listening say, what difference does it make, whether it's deep calm or whether it's happiness? Thank you very much. Right. A lot of times I'll read the listeners. And, yeah, you have to have that peace. If you have a state of poverty mm-hmm. or a state of war around you,
right,
it's quite difficult to find that inner calm.
Right. And that's the essence of so many spiritual disciplines is, can you find that inner calm in spite of
yes.
what is around you? It is so easy to be in a yoga studio and have some nice relaxing music going and maybe a little incense burning and be in a blissed out state.
Right.
Can you maintain that when you are rushing to a radio appointment and you've made the wrong turn?
That was only Mercury retrograde.
but can you maintain that in those moments of I'm rushing to get somewhere and I'm lost and
yes.
how do I not be frustrated with this? Can you maintain it in the face of the world's most horrific evils?
Right.
I don't want to necessarily illuminate those or list those right now.
No.
But we all know how bad the world can be.
Yes.
Can you maintain that? Can you find a sense of peace there? Peace in a yoga studio is easy.
Yeah. I don't do yoga, but I can imagine that. But I know meditation, when you're in that place, it's like in a zone.
Right.
When I start the program, I enter into that zone very quickly,
right.
Where I don't know what's going to be spoken. It just comes through me. It's like spirit has found a vehicle that will bring forth information that could be available to those people listening, if not now or to the archives.
Right.
Yes. So I just someone said, "Well, do you know how many people are listening?" I said, "Do I care?" It's whoever needs to hear me. And if there's no one listening, that's fine too.
Sure.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any difference. Because I'm the fool today. I'm the fool because I'm just looking straight ahead, just listening. And the fool is looking straight ahead. And there's a light coming down through the crown chakra, which is the very top of the head. I have to define terms here. And, you know, it's just when it's like downloading. When you think of a computer download, okay, I'm on an application or in your cell phone. It's downloaded or uploaded, and you're receiving information. When you've opened that certain, you've tuned into, let's say, JudithConradRadio.com.
Sure.
That's a vibration, and you've tuned in there, or BBSRadio.com. You've tuned into a vibration, and the door's open, the portal is open for you to receive this download, and it's up to you to make sure that it is saved and that you resonate with that and then to work with it. And when you work with it, then it could change forms, which is fine. But you then get to, you know, to have that whatever, Does that make sense to you?
It makes a tremendous amount of sense to me. It's not just that you're hearing what a couple of people on the radio are saying.
Right.
It's that you listen for it in a way that has meaning for you.
Right.
And then what do you do with it? And that's where I come back to saying happiness is a process.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does require work, joyous work, hopefully.
Yes.
But it does require work.
And quite often I have a couple of people who listened on after the fact, and then they email me with what they got out of the program, and they're paying me to do this, you know,
right.
Because they want to take it deeper, and they meditate on certain parts of the program, certain cards that I've pulled, and whatever the guest has said, and then for the next during that week until the next program comes on, then we're working together. It's so exciting to watch what happens out of that.
Sure, sure.
And then when I'm doing a session, I record it and then send an MP3, and they are their responsibility between one session and the next a week later is to transcribe the majority of that tape. And
okay.
Any homework, you know, I was a school teacher, of course.
Sure.
Know, always got to get some homework in there. And then that week, that's what their homework assignment is.
Great.
So I require that they get into the process.
And that's what I do with my patients,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Often I feel like I am just tossing a little pebble in their pond, and they've got to figure out what those mm-hmm. ripples are all about.
Right.
So much of my practice is about that foundational work.
We're over the time. I just realized that. Whoops. We had so much fun here talking. Well, I think we have to close now, Bill.
I appreciate that, Judith.
Okay. So we'll I want to surround this tape with this. I forgot what I got all rattled here. So I'm going to wish you love, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday. And peace, love, and radio. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Judith.
Okay. We're out.